How great is our God. How great is His word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I'm going to lead you, but you trust in me.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight.
Hallelujah, Lord.
We're thankful, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So happy in a world that's falling apart to still be together. So how you stay together, Brother Andrew? I don't worry about it. Somebody stood together for me. And that's why I'm together tonight, because I'm in Him.
Amen.
Isn't it great to be a Christian tonight?
Yes.
Good to see Evan sneak in there. Hannah, is that right? All right. I knew I'd catch it somewhere. Good to have them with us as well. I told me it was going to come, so I saw somebody moving back there. That was Brother Nathan, though. That's why I kept peeking back there, Brother. I wasn't watching over you. I just thought he was going to show up sometime here. So it's good to have him with us tonight. How many is expecting to hear from God?
Yes, amen.
You know, there ain't nothing else to look for anymore in this last day, you know. I just feel so compelled in my heart that I don't know if you've been experiencing this too, that everything else just fading away.
Amen.
Everything else just fading away. There's nothing to live for down here. You think of your house and how much work we put into it, and I believe we ought to. We should take care of what God gives us, but really when it's all done, you think, this is going to burn up one of these days.
Sure.
What's the point? You know what? And even you think of if we would be left here, well, our bodies ain't going to last too long in an atomic bomb.
Right.
It'd just be gone. Or aren't you glad you got a soul?
Yes.
That's sealed away in God. Those who've been born again, the Spirit of God, sealed away. There ain't no way getting in there. Devil can't do nothing about it. You can throw all the atomic bombs you want to. You ain't going to break that seal.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why I'm happy to be a Christian tonight. So I encourage you, Christian, not Christian, anywhere in between, to give all to God tonight. Just treat it like this is it, because really, every day is it. You don't get it back. So we need to do all we can to give it to Christ. Amen. So let's invite Brother Nathan. I just feel like, let's just sing that song again. I thought that was very good for service tonight. And Brother Nathan, you come on up and we'll have him speak tonight.
How great is our God.
God bless you.
Oh, yeah. How great is His word. He's the greatest Father that ever was heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me.
One more time.
Oh, how great is our God. How great is His word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea. And He said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me.
Amen. Amen. I believe that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. It's wonderful to be here again with precious friends, believers of like precious faith. You may be seated for a moment. If I could just do something a little different here today. I wanted to share a little testimony before we go to the Word, if that would be all right, Brother Andrew. And something that the Lord kind of showed me the other day, and it was a little unusual. I had a dream. Don't get nervous now. But I had a dream a couple weeks ago. I actually had it two times. And in my dream, what happened was, and I don't think it was a prophetic dream or anything like that, but just it kind of the Lord used it to really bring something home for me. I wanted to share it and put it on my heart. So I had this dream, and in my dream, I had gone out. I went to a bar or something, and it's something I've never been tempted with. But in my dream, I went out to a bar and just got hammered, you know, and spent the night carousing and just went wild, you know, for a night in my dream. And you know how when you're dreaming, you kind of can feel things you don't really feel them when you're awake, but just like you feel these emotions and things so strongly. And I felt so, and in my dream after this happened, I felt so, so in such despair, and I felt so so guilty and so marred and defiled, you know, like, and I'm just thinking, and like, oh Lord, just one act, Father, and it's like I threw everything away. I had a position in your body, and I had you in my life, and I had this walk with God, and you were showing me things, and things were, you were blessing me so much spiritually, and then with one act, it was all thrown away. Like I lost it all, you know, like I had Christ and lost it all, just guilt, you know, condemnation. And then I woke up, and the first time I don't think I got it, so I had the dream again. You know, I was just like, wow, that was a terrible dream. But so I had the exact same dream 2 nights later. I believe it was 2 nights later. And I woke up, and all of a sudden, the Lord was there, and he kind of spoke to me that, you know, you wake up, and there's this feeling of relief. Like, it didn't really happen. It didn't really happen. None of that actually happened. That was just a shadow reality. It was just a dream. I don't have to feel guilty anymore. Don't have to feel condemned because it was just a dream.
Oh, come on.
Right, and so and right away the thought came to me, it's just like you never did it in the first place.
That's
right. Never did it in the first place.
Thank you,
and it just really made me appreciate what we have as Christians, how we've been justified by our faith.
Thank you.
You know, we don't have to. So many people, I think, Christians are living in a dream, and we're living in kind of this shadow of reality.
Sure.
You know, and we're living by what our eyes see and what our mind remembers, and this guilt and this condemnation of a past.
Yes.
Or the state that we feel like we're in, but the Word says that we're justified, and the Word says we've been washed by the water of the Word, that we're pure and clean and holy, and it's just like all those sins of the past, all the sins even of the present, it's like you never did it.
That's
in
right.
God's eyes, it never did it, and He's the ultimate reality. And
yes.
And so I just wanted to share that with you to encourage you that
that
we are so, we don't have to live in that kind of a condemnation.
Amen.
It's just like we never did it in the first place. We can, you know, God can give you a revelation that'll wake you up out of your dreams.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So I know that's a little different, but just to encourage you tonight.
Amen.
Let's stand as we go in the Word. And just a real simple thought tonight. Didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare, but we're just looking to the Lord to speak tonight.
That's where we look. Amen.
We're not looking for human ability. You know, I could study and study and study for months and then get up here and the Lord could throw it away and ask me to preach something else. So it's in His hands, amen?
Amen.
And we're trusting Him. I want to speak on a little thought. If I could title it, I would say, Choose Your Weapon. Choose
amen.
Your Weapon tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Amen. If you have a say, amen.
Amen.
All right. Paul says to the Ephesian church, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. Not our might, but be strong in the power of His might. And put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen.
Amen.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all this, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen.
Right.
And take the helmet of salvation, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if you notice there's all those things that we're supposed to arm ourselves with against
amen.
The enemy. But we only have one weapon.
That's right.
We only have one weapon. Amen. And that's the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's the weapon that Jesus used against the enemy.
Sure.
Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would. And chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians. where it says, though we walk in the flesh, remember, we the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or he said, we don't war with flesh and blood. It says we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Amen.
They're not physical weapons, right? They're not natural weapons, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now notice here what we're warring against, what our weapons are turned against, is imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God.
Amen.
And every thought that comes against us has to be brought into obedience of Christ, who is the Word.
Amen.
We have to bring our thoughts in obedience to the Word. So there's a battle going on. There's a greatest battle ever fought, is what the prophet called it. This battle in the mind. Right? We're battling in the mind. That's where the battleground is. So,
amen.
So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. He adds blessings to the reading of the Word. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for another opportunity to be here in your presence, Father. Lord, knowing that, Father, we feel so inadequate before your people, Father. If we were looking for our ability to feed them, Father, for our ability to meet their needs, Father, Lord, we would all be wasting our time here tonight, Father. If this was all that we could muster in our human ability, Father, if this was all that we could do, Lord, we would surely be a foolish people, Father. But Lord, you spoke of the foolishness of God, Father, where you take things that are weak and you take things that are base, Father. Take things that seem small and they seem human and they seem humble, Father, and you put your glory there and you hide yourself there and you put your power there, Father. So Lord, we know that we're not trusting one bit in the ability of a man tonight, Father. We're not trusting one bit in our own ability, Father. But Lord, we're lifting our needs and our hearts and our questions and everything on our that we have on our hearts. We're putting it on your altar, lifting it to you, Father, trusting in you to come and meet us tonight, Father.
Yes,
we're trusting in your divine word, Father, which is, it's more powerful than a two-edged sword, Father, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look into our hearts, Father, Lord, and let the word pierce our hearts tonight, Father, Lord, and just cut away everything that would not be of you and speak to us, Lord. Lord, as we try to just encourage and challenge your people tonight, Father. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We dedicate it unto the Lord. Amen. So you may be seated. Thank you. We're in a battle tonight. Amen. A Christian is meant to be a warrior.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we are not meant to like the scripture talks about. We don't war after the flesh, but we war after the spirit. You know, and so it's not. And I think there are many people that are they're warring after the flesh tonight.
Yeah,
you know, you see it kind of around the world how, you know, Christians many times they have a spirit about them, like they've got to fight with somebody, they've got to argue with somebody, they got to try to bring somebody to Christ through a debate, through a fight, through some kind of pressure in this natural. You know, and so many times we go up against Satan in the natural. We go against him. We try to war with the flesh, and we try to, you know, we try to work hard and strive hard and come up with all these programs and plans and things to come against the enemy. But it never seems to work because, see, we don't war after the flesh.
Oh, sir.
Amen. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
That's right.
Amen. We have nothing in ourselves, and we have no human ability. We have nothing that we could muster up that could stand against the enemy in this day. Amen. Because we're in the war with a powerful foe. We're in the war against Satan in this day. And Satan has such a grip on this world.
Come on,
and Satan has so much power in this world, and power over our minds and the minds of men, and so much power that we could never stand against him in our human ability.
That's right.
Amen. Because in our human state, we're fallen. In our human state, we're corrupt, right? Amen. But on the spiritual side, amen. We've been armed. We've been given something that can stand against the enemy.
That's
amen.
Right,
amen. So we don't fight in the natural. Amen. But we're in the middle of a total spiritual war.
Amen.
From the moment that you wake up to the moment that you go to bed, it
Absolutely.
Is total war.
That's right.
Amen. And I think we need to wake up to that because we get such a sense of security sometimes where we feel like everything's just kind of drifting through life, you know, and everything's hunky-dory. And just when you get in that state is when you need to start checking yourself.
Oh, sure.
Amen. Because the Bible never said that we would just kind of drift along. Right, that everything would come easy, that everything would
Preach,
that there would never be struggles, and there never be trials, and there never be fighting.
Amen. We don't believe in some kind of prosperity gospel where everything's going to go great and we just, as long as we keep a positive attitude, everything's just going to come our way and God's going to bless us. That's not God's love for us tonight. Brother Branham said his love for us is an elective love.
Right.
Amen. It's not like a love like pampering a baby. Amen. But it's an elective love. It's a corrective love. It's a love that he's going to put you into the position that he calls you to.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what comes
no
your way.
What.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. But things are going to come your way. All right.
That's right.
All right. So how many know that the church is a type of Israel in Canaan?
Amen.
We just read in the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is the book of the Christian position in Christ.
Absolutely.
It's our rights and our position. And all the things that we are meant to fulfill, you find them in that book of Ephesians.
Yes, sir. That's right, brother.
And the prophet taught that book of Ephesians, now these spiritual possessions that we have, it's a type, the natural type was in the book of Joshua, the children of Israel and Canaan. So if you'll bear with me, I want to lay a foundation tonight from a few different messages. All right, Brother Graham said in questions and answers talking about Canaan. He said, a lot of people think this, but he said, Canaan is not the type of the millennium.
Right. Come on.
Because why? Because they had war and fighting and killing and everything else in Canaan.
Sure,
that's right.
Right. So it's not the millennium. It's not the thousand years of peace because there's war and fighting and killing
that's
there
right,
in Canaan.
Brother,
all right.
Yes,
so that's something on this end of glory, right? So Canaan, he said, is a type of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
All right.
On,
and Egypt is the world that they came out of. All right.
Right.
So that we're just like, so we as the church, we're just like the children of Israel. We were out in the world, we were out in sin, we were doing all these things, and God brought us out of that, right?
Amen, amen.
And he brought us out
Thank
of that, but see, there's two parts of redemption, because it's
brother.
Not just being brought out,
oh,
all right, help me, Lord. It's not just being brought out.
Come on now.
Yeah, it's enough. It's not just saying no to the things of the world, it's not just turning over a new leaf,
Lord.
Right? It's not just saying, well, I want to be a good person, I'm going to try to go to church now, I'm going to join a church and try to be good and do all these things. That's only part of it.
That's right.
Right? Because see, if you do that, that's still just a human thing, still
Amen.
Just an intellectual place
Absolutely.
That you've come to. But there's another part to the type. Now that we've been brought out, now that we've been brought out of denomination,
Come
now
on,
that we've
now.
Been brought out of the world, now there's a going in.
Yeah.
Now there's a going into Canaan, right? And it's a type of the Holy Ghost. It's when
yes,
God can bring his spirit into his people, and not only were we brought out of our sad state, but now we're coming into his glory
Amen.
And our position in him and all these adoption rights that we have and this power that we have and all these things is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's our Canaan land. Amen?
Yes.
All right. Now, Egypt's the world that they came out of, and the wilderness is where they were sanctified. See, some people come into the wilderness, right? They made the sacrifices. They're just living on the manna. They're sanctified. It's a sanctified. They're a good people, holy people. They've got a new spirit, right? But you must take his spirit. We've got to go into the land. There's something
yes.
greater than just a living a good Sunday go and meet in Christian life.
That's right.
Amen.
Brother.
There's something more out there. All right.
Lord.
Oh, something worth fighting for.
Amen.
Amen. And so Canaan is where they settled down with the Holy Spirit. See, they were justified. They were bought out of Egypt.
Yes, sir.
Sanctified in the wilderness. Now they're settling down in that Holy Spirit,
Amen,
coming into rest, right, in Christ. Amen. The position of a believer in Christ in Canaan. Because they still had wars.
Sure.
And if you don't believe that you have wars, just get the Holy Spirit once.
Amen.
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 What are you doing? What do you do in Canaan? They were possessing Woo. Their rights.
Yes.
Possessing their rights. Glory. They were possessing their rights.
Come
and they
on,
could
now.
Not possess yes. their rights. They could not possess their rights. You don't have a single right with God. You don't have a right for any of these glorious promises in the Bible, these glorious things, this picture of the perfect church in the book of Ephesians.
Come on now.
You don't have a right to any of it, amen, until you get into Canaan.
Amen.
Until you've got that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Till you've been born again.
Amen.
Amen. Until
brother.
His Spirit's with you. Then it gives you the right. Right? All right. But
yes,
and
sir.
We've got rights, he says. When you receive the Holy Ghost, then you're in Canaan.
Amen.
But you have to fight for it. Every inch of ground,
right.
you've got to fight
yes,
for it.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. That's the reason people say, Brother Branham, pray for me today. You know, this happened, that happened. He says, get over in Canaan once, brother.
That's right.
And you realize where you belong.
Amen.
Watch prayer start being turned around. Yes, sir. He said, looky here, Satan, this is mine.
Amen.
I'm possessor of this.
Oh,
Amen. God
yes.
said so. Move out. Amen. Move off my ground. Your ground, Satan says. Your ground. See, there's a challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a challenge.
Yes.
Amen. Sure, I've got an abstract deed to it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Move out. If you don't, I'll serve notice on you by the Holy Spirit's guidance. And he moves out. Sure, he has to. Amen. Wonderful quote. All right, now, Caleb and Joshua, Brother Branham says in the message, presuming. There you are. Men of faith, men of integrity,
Amen.
Men who know God said down in Egypt that I'll give you the land. They knew the promise. See, they had a promise. And that's good enough. They run through the people, and look at the state of the church now.
Yeah.
Look at where the people are at. All right? And the people are mourning and crying, saying, now our children are going to die in this wilderness. Our women will be ravished, and here we are. We'll perish out here in the wilderness when God had promised them he'd give them the land.
Yes, sir.
Now remember, he gave them the land, but they had to fight for every inch of it.
Amen, brother.
God told Joshua, everywhere the soles of your feet sets, that I've given you.
Amen.
Footsteps meant possession. Amen. So there's a walking that we've got to do. There's a possessing. There's a fighting that we see. There's something that we've got to. You know, it's not like a prosperity gospel. It's not like we just kind of sit there and God rains all these things on us. He gave us a promise, and he'll give us the power to possess it.
Amen.
Yes, so we're moving into Canaan. Amen.
That's right.
All right. Footsteps meant possession. Now, to you people that was prayed for, now he's talking about people who've had prayer. Now, for sicknesses and things. All of you down here, all of you last night was here, and somebody laid hands on you, and we prayed. The presence of the Lord came down and revealed himself right with the word.
Amen.
To show, see, we've got a vindicated word. We've got something God has proved to us that his word is true.
Amen.
Right? He's proved to us that his promises are true. All right? And to show that it's true that he's here. And he says, there was no fooling. There's no mistake. It's there. It's the truth.
Amen.
And we don't presume anything else. We got to lay aside reasoning.
Because right,
look at the state of this church. They begin to reason with the challenges that they saw before them. And the more that they looked at the challenge ahead, the more they started to look at their own human ability.
Right.
And the children of Israel, they're looking at their own inadequacy. And they're looking at their own failures and their faults and their weakness. Right? And they're looking at this enemy, these Canaanites, these Anakim giants that they had to fight. Right, to possess the land. And because they were looking, they were reasoning, and they were looking at, carnally at the situation, at the circumstances, they lost faith. And they're looking at their circumstances, and they were mourning and crying. Amen. When God promised them the land.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we don't want to be that kind of a Christian. Amen.
Right.
We should be like a Joshua and a Caleb that says, God promised us the land. And because of the promise, not because of our ability, because we are like grasshoppers to the enemy.
Right.
Amen. Not because of our ability, but because of the promise, we are more than able to take the land. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So there's no fooling. There's no mistake. It's the truth. All right? Lay aside reasonings. We cast them down, and we take the word. Take the word and move on. The word said so. Now you say, then the promise is mine. Sure.
That's
now these are, remember, these are people that are coming to God for healing.
Amen.
He says, all right, you say the promise is mine. That's good. He says, sure. But you'll fight every inch of it till you're well.
That's
amen. Amen. How many have a need tonight? How many have something that you need from the Lord tonight? Sometimes you've got to fight for that thing. Sometimes you've got to hold out in faith for that thing. There's
right,
a battle.
Right.
There's a challenge. It doesn't always come instantly like
right,
that.
Right.
Right? But the promises of God are true.
Amen.
If we'll hold on in faith,
amen.
He'll bring it. He'll vindicate his word every time. Amen.
Amen.
You'll fight every inch of it to your well. You will take. See, the promise is yours. You're just as healed. You're already healed by the You're already healed.
Amen.
By the sacrifice that was paid. But you'll take every step of it. All right. Footsteps means possessions. It's a battle. Amen. It's a battle. But we can't get discouraged because the promise is yours. That was the promised land that they had to fight to get every step of it. And the promise is yours, but you'll fight every inch
yes,
of it too.
Lord.
Amen. Amen. Brother, listen to what Brother Branham said. This is powerful. He says, I was called by God to preach the gospel 31 years ago. I've fought ever since.
Right.
Ever since. Every inch of ground I've fought out with the sword of God.
Amen.
Now, what does it mean to fight with the sword of God? Taking the promise and cutting away.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes,
cutting
Lord.
Away. He talked about one time how when you take that promise of God, that promise is true. God's vindicated his word. He'll bring it to pass. Amen. But sometimes you've got to take that thing and strike the enemy with it.
Yes.
And if he won't move, he says, strike him again.
Amen.
And you just keep striking, keep applying that word. Amen. In faith now.
Yes,
and it'll bring the promise to pass every time. I mean, I believe that every time. He says, what is it? It's a promise. God made the promise. Let's stay with it. God promised it. No matter what, you've got to have a battle. And if everything comes lazy, what are you overcoming?
Amen. That's
God wants to glorify his church in victory. He wants to bring us to a place of victory. He wants to come through us and give us victory. He wants to give us glory. He wants to give us an overcoming power against the enemy, that he could set us up over that enemy. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So if everything came lazy, we wouldn't be overcomers. Amen.
Right.
We wouldn't be sharing in his glory because he overcame.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, they overcome by the word of God and their testimony, the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Right? The blood of Christ and their testimony. And what's the testimony? The word of God. That's got to be your testimony.
Yes, sir.
All right, you've got to overcome something. You've got to have some obstacles. And people that differ and fuss with you and tell you you're holy rollers and things that's put before you, it's a trial.
It sure is.
If you haven't got that, you're not even in the battle.
Amen.
Amen. And sure enough, we're in the battle now, aren't we? Because there's never been a time where it's been more unpopular to be a Christian. And where it seems more weird and it seems more foolish and people look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Amen. And there's persecution that comes and there's mocking and you see people falling away from the message of the hour. And see, that's why I think... Well, listen to this quote. Brother Bram says, a real Christian fights for his position.
Amen.
And he has to stand alone.
That's right.
Him and God alone. And he fights every inch of ground.
Amen.
And you don't have to baby that kind of a Christian around.
Yeah.
And that's what's the problem. That's why people are getting shaken in this day. Amen. Because they've had it so easy.
That's
and they've
right.
been so sheltered. And they've been so sheltered just being associated with a message church. Just
yeah.
sitting in a message
Please.
Pew. And All they've right. never had to stand alone with God.
Amen.
Amen. Because
Brother,
they've always had the rest of the church around. Around them in a nice little community,
sure.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it was just a nice little gathering every
Amen.
Sunday and every Wednesday, right? Amen. But when people begin to come against you, amen. And when the song leader falls away,
yeah.
amen. And when pastors are falling away and they're getting on Facebook and they're attacking what
yeah.
you believe and they're trying to pull on you and argue with you to walk away from
yeah.
this word that God's given us,
amen.
Amen. Then it's a trial. Then it's a battle.
Amen, brother.
Amen. And he says, if you don't have that, you're not even in the battle.
Right.
Amen. But we're in the battle for the Lord and right today.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We've got a battle to fight.
Sure.
Amen. We've got to come to a place where we can stand alone with God. And we've got to fight these things.
Amen.
Amen. Because, see, Satan, he's coming in like a roaring lion. It's the fulfillment of Scripture where, see, every day there's doubts are coming. Amen. Or God, and if God can't get in your mind, he'll bring somebody you love and use them. Amen. Whatever he can do to get in there and try to sow his seeds of doubt, it's a battle.
Sure.
Amen.
Brother.
It's a battle. We are fighting for our position.
Amen.
Amen. And so I think Christians have to wake up in this day. And they are being woken up, whether they
sure.
like it or not, to
That's
realize
right.
that, see, we're not on a church picnic,
That's
but we're
cool.
in a battle. Amen. We're soldiers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. What God said that he'd be your fortress.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He didn't say that he'd be your all-inclusive
yeah.
tropical resort. Right? He said he'd be your fortress because we're
right.
under attack.
That's right.
Amen. We're under attack
God.
By the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Christians have been, too many Christians have been babied by this false sense of security.
Come on, brother. That's it.
Amen. And we've all, to some extent, I think some of us have been that way. Where, you know, when you see people begin to come against the message, you see the falling away, and you see how Satan is just causing people to fall away and just walk. How could you turn your back on these great things that God's given us? Amen. But see, it just shows you the subtlety of that enemy.
Amen.
Sure. Amen.
Amen. So we're all
Amen.
In battle with that. All right. So we're in a battle. Excuse me. But we've got to choose the right weapon. You've got to choose your weapon carefully now. Because not only are we in a battle, we're in the greatest battle ever fought.
Amen, brother.
Right? And this is the day that the scripture said would come when the enemy comes in like a flood.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
And all the gates of hell are unloosed against the revelation that we
yes,
have.
Sir.
Amen. All powers of hell coming against this bride. Right? But And so if you're going to stand against that, you've got to have the right weapon. You've got to be armed correctly,
sure, right.
more than ever in this day.
Yes,
Amen, because it's such a subtle thing. It's such a spiritual battle there where they're in. There was a time when Christians, that the battles and the struggles that Christians faced were people that would persecute them in the natural.
Sure.
And if you didn't, and if you stood for Jesus, then you were in danger of somebody taking you and throwing you into a coliseum or hanging you on a cross or whatever these things. And it seems, we look at that like, how could they stand in such a thing? And yet the scripture speaks of a greater battle to come,
That's right.
where Satan would come in such a subtle, spiritual, and tricky way
sure.
in
yes.
the mind.
Right.
To where it's a miracle. It's an absolute
oh,
miracle
you,
for anyone
Thank you, Lord.
To withstand it. Amen. So we've got to arm ourselves correctly. We've got to choose the right weapon. And there's only one weapon that the Word of God says that we have. And that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
It's taking these promises of God. Amen. These promises that we've been given. And we use those things to overcome the enemy.
Amen.
Just like Jesus. Jesus overcame that way. Right? He went into the wilderness and he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And Satan comes against him. And just look at the power of this enemy that we're against. Where Satan could take Jesus up and he could show him all the kingdoms of the world.
Right.
And all the nations of the world. And it was all in Satan's hands.
Sure.
It was all in Satan's grasp. And he had control. He was the king and the master of that. And he's talking to Jesus. He says, I'll give you all this. I can give you all this. It's in my power to give this to you.
Yeah.
Amen. When it belonged to him to begin with. Amen. And how did Jesus come against him? He didn't argue with him. No. He didn't strive with him. He didn't fight him. He didn't try to punch him in the face. Amen. He said, thus saith the Lord. It is written. Amen.
That's
amen.
Right.
Just using the word.
Amen.
Amen. Just holding on to that promise of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. But notice now. See, you've got churches today that don't have any power over the enemy. And yet, you would think that, or it would seem that they've got the word.
Come on, brother.
They know the word.
Sure.
Message churches now, they know this revealed word of the hour. They can quote it to you. They can quote it better than we can, a lot of them. And yet, no power in it for them.
Preach.
Amen. No blood on the altar for it because there's no power behind it. And why? How could that be? What can make this powerful? This word that brought the universe into existence.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen. So much power in this word. And how could it become such a weak and laughable thing? Mm-hmm. Amen. In the sight of the enemy. All right. How could it be? Because see, the word is not meant to be mixed with anything human.
Sure.
It's the divine word of God. All right. Now look at this. The word. Now you've got the sword of the Spirit. You've got the word. But what did the scripture say? Above all else, take up your sword and take up the shield of faith.
Amen.
All right, now the word, so the word is meant to be wielded with faith.
Right.
Okay, so we've got the sword of the Spirit in one hand and the shield of faith in the other hand, and you use them together.
That's right.
You know, if you know anything about how that they used to fight with a sword and shield, you know, that shield didn't just kind of hang there. You know, it's not a passive thing. It's not something that you just kind of let sit there and sure, I believe. I got faith. Look, it's right there. Right? That it'll never be a protection to you. You'll never be able to withstand the enemy with that. But you take that sword and you take that shield. And what you use, in the Bible days, it was a buckler. And you're supposed to take that shield with that word and you start beating on the enemy with it. What are you trying to do? The more you beat him with that faith, the more you're bringing his guard down. Amen. And if you hold on to that faith,
Lord.
Hold on to that faith and push and bash with it and keep smashing, just keep hitting that enemy with that faith. Amen. Eventually the walls will come down and you can take, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And you can defeat the enemy.
Amen.
The word, so it's the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the word. And it's the shield of faith. And you use them together. And that shield is something active. And that's what the churches don't have, is an active faith in the word of God. Because see, it's easy to say that you believe something. It's easy to pay lip service to the word of God. But it's another thing altogether when you're looking the enemy in the eye.
Come on.
Right? And you come toe-to-toe with the enemy. Amen. And he's daring you to try something.
Come on.
Just daring you. See? See, what we do is we use everything else against the enemy. And we say, oh, we've got the word. And we get all excited. And we get this intellectual workup over the revealed word that we have. But when push comes to shove, and when the enemy comes in with like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it.
Amen.
Right? And but see, if you're not, if you don't have that faith to hold on to that word, right? All right, so what happens? I want to bring it, not talk in type so much, but just be real plain. All right, what happens when the enemy comes in? Right? He'll come in and you've got a sickness or something will come.
Yes,
or you got a temptation, right?
Amen.
And you know what the word says, that by his stripes, you are healed.
Amen.
That's the word. That's the truth.
Sure.
I believe it. You believe it.
Yes, sir.
Because God said it, right?
Amen.
All right, but what starts to happen now? Well, what if it's not God's will for me to be healed?
Get it, brother.
Preach. What if God doesn't really love me? What if God doesn't want to save me?
Yeah.
What if God doesn't want to? What if he doesn't love me? You know, all these things like questioning. You start to reason with it. You start to argue with it. And we've got so many quotes and so many examples and so many little words of wisdom, amen, that'll make us, instead of standing against the enemy with faith, instead of entering the battle, we'll just let him have his way. You know, so many people living below their privileges, living sick when they don't really have to be sick. And they're living in bondage when they don't have to be bound. And they're living in defeat when they don't have to be defeated.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Amen. Because what do we got? We've got these promises of God, and we've got to take a faith to apply it. And Brother Brown, and Brother Brown taught it that way, that shield of faith is just as much a weapon as the Word of God. They go hand in hand. They go together. He said that faith in Jesus is an atomic bomb. It's the greatest weapon. It blows. Listen to what he said. It blows sickness and devils right and left. It annihilates them. Destroys. It disintegrates everything that's ungodly when that bomb of faith drops in there with the Word of God behind it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right, a lot of people in the world got faith, right? But they don't have the Word of God behind it. Right, when God has given us such revelation in this day, and he's opened up these scriptures to us, and given us such a clear and understanding, a perfect revelation of this Word of God.
Amen.
And with that Word of God standing behind that faith, amen, when it's not just having the truth,
that's it, brother.
Right, and not just having a spirit of faith, but when you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, like Jesus said.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you bring those things together, amen, he says it blows every devil, every sickness, every disease.
Amen.
All right, and that's what we need. We got such an intellectual faith. We got such a dead and carnal and intellectual faith. Amen. And we need our faith to be anointed.
Yes,
that's why we need the Holy Ghost in this day. That's why sanctification will never bring you far enough. Just joining a church, just cleaning up your life, it'll never give you enough power over the enemy to overcome.
Amen.
Right? Because your faith has to be anointed. Now, notice this. Moses had the Word. Moses had the promise of God. Right?
Right.
He was raised, just like me, he was raised from a little child hearing the Word. Right? And his mother was teaching him and telling him, you're going to be the deliverer. You're going to be used of God. God's going to do a great work. God, there's all these promises in the Bible that you would come and all these things that you're going to do. And he's taught that. And you know Moses believed it. But look what he did. He did the same thing that so many churches try to do, where he started to look at these promises and there was no leadership of the Holy Ghost. There was no faith in God to give it to him. So he got impatient.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And it just seemed like, you know, holding out in faith wasn't working. He got impatient. He didn't want to wait.
That's right.
What'd he do? He tried to take matters into his own hands.
That's it.
Moses, he wanted to set up his own, he had his own program. He was going to live life the way that he wanted to live it. So he took the, what did he do is he slew an Egyptian.
Right.
He's like, oh yes, the first of many. Can you imagine what's going in his mind? I'm going to kill this Egyptian. I'm going to lead this revolt, and I'm going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Sure.
Right. And it was promised that he would do it.
Right.
That's what he was called to do.
Yeah.
But he tried to take matters into his own hands.
Absolutely.
Amen. God is his own interpreter.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Praise God.
So see, it wasn't enough just to believe it. Moses believed it. What, you know, understand what I mean? Not just believe in the mind, not just
know it,
not just be taught it. See, he had a faith. It was a human faith that he had in the promise. But watch this. Brother Branham spoke about this time he came in the wilderness and he met the pillar of fire.
Yes, sir.
He had an experience with that anointing, that Christ. Amen. That pillar of fire, that Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And when a Christian comes to that place, then you'll be just like Moses. And what Brother Branham said happened to Moses there is his faith, he had faith, but his faith was anointed.
Amen.
It was anointed. Right? See, and so many times, that's what we've got to do. We've got to hold out in faith until one day you'll meet the pillar of fire, and he'll anoint your faith, and then he'll perform the work the way that he wants to perform.
Amen. That's
all right? All right? And
yes,
so
sir.
The anointing of that Holy Ghost, it brings a faith that'll put the word into action.
Yes,
but
sir.
But see, that takes it. It takes it out of our hands because it's got to be his anointing.
Amen.
It's got to be. Our faith has to be anointed of God, right? It's his faith that we're wanting, right? Not just a human intellectual faith, but his faith, and it'll put the word into action, and it'll fulfill the promise of God, but he'll do it the way that he wants to do it.
Amen.
All right, just a little testimony on that. One time, I used to work at the airport, you know, and I would work out on the ramp, they call it, where we'd unload the planes, and they'd take that conveyor belt up to the planes and start sending down bags. Well, one day it was like the beginning of shift, my shift, and this little bag was coming down, you know, real big, but sometimes looks can be deceiving, so, you know, I grab the bag and yank it to throw it into the cart, and sometimes I threw bags, and it was really heavy, so I ended up yanking my back, and this is the beginning of the shift, and we're getting hammered that night, and all this luggage has to be unloaded. I'm just like, oh no, no. And right away my mind goes to, he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yeah.
By his stripes we're healed. Yeah. And I'm just thinking about it, and I'm saying, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could just pray over that thing, it would just go away instantly. But then I kind of got checked in my mind, and the Lord showed it to me. And this is just real simple, how he said, I'll do it the way that I want to do it. You know?
Yeah.
And what I had on my heart was, the promise is true. You know, I believe I'll be healed. I believe I'm healed already, right? But see, I'm waiting for the manifestation, and let God do it however he wants.
Amen.
I'll just testify that I'm healed.
Amen.
So I just spent, for a while, I'm just walking around singing, he was wounded for our transgressions, and myself, and kept unloading. The next flight came out, and I'm unloading bags, you know. All of a sudden, I realized pain's completely gone.
That's right. Sure.
I never know. See, it wasn't some great supernatural thing like I wanted it to be right off the bat, like some a tingle go down my spine.
Yeah, right.
But see, he kept his word.
That's right.
Right? And 1 minute I couldn't even stand up straight.
Yeah.
Half an hour later I'm throwing bags, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how God can do it. But
hey,
see, he anointed the faith.
That's right.
And he fulfilled his promise, but he did it in his own time.
Amen.
And he did it in his own way.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
So we got such a peace if we could just let go of our program. All right? And it goes the same thing with the greater promises of God that we have, this bride that we're supposed to be. And what a great, see, this short, quick work that many people are waiting for, and this third pole and all these things. We're looking for some, we've got this image in our mind of something great and mighty. Let God interpret his own word.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Just believe it. Let God anoint it, right?
Yeah.
If you've got the Holy Ghost, if you've met that pillar of fire, when Brother Bram says, when God speaks to a man, it gives him an ambition. Gives them a purpose. It gives you a rock.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what comes your way. Doesn't matter what the battle is. We'll overcome.
Amen. Amen.
That's what we need. That kind of a faith. All right. That kind of faith combined with the word, it'll never fail.
Amen.
All right. See, we overcome. What does the scripture say? How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And the word of our testimony.
Amen.
The blood of the Lamb bought. It provided a full salvation. Every promise in the Bible is ours. We possess it.
Amen.
It's ours by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
He paid the price. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to do anything to work it up.
Go
you don't have to do anything to achieve it, because the blood of the Lamb bought our victory.
Amen.
It bought our overcoming.
Yes, sir.
All right, but look at the other part of it now. The word of your testimony. So if you've got faith in that word, you'll begin to apply it with the confession of faith. And when you take your shield of faith...
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Where no doubt can come, no fiery dart of doubt can penetrate that shield, and you can stand there with the word, and you can be with that word, and apply that promise, and keep confessing that promise till God will bring it to pass every time,
amen,
without fail. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The blood bought the promise, but it's the confession of faith that will apply it.
Amen.
Right? And that comes by the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
All right. Real simple, but just beautiful.
True,
beautiful. Amen. It is simple.
Yes, sir.
It's not hard, right? But every time we try to make it something complicated in our minds, we think we want to, we try to work up such like a superhuman faith.
Right, brother.
You know, like if we could just have such a faith that we could just, you know, make things fall off the walls and levitate around the room and all these things, you know, and we got such, faith is so simple. Just take God at his word.
Amen.
Just say what he said.
Yes, sir.
Right? He'll keep his promise. So that's why we see churches losing power, even in the message. All right, and so we can look at the world. We can look out there for an exaggerated example, but that same spirit's right here.
Sure,
right, brother.
And here's where it wants to be.
Amen.
Right, because it's got them. Amen. But here we've got something real. We've got there's a life here that Satan wants to stamp out.
Amen.
All right, so we got to watch these spirits, and we can't think that we're above any of it, because here's where it's trying to get.
Amen, right? Brother.
Right here in God's fortress. All right. All right, so it's because we know it, so many people, they know the promise of God's word, but no faith to apply it. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. If you mix that with unbelief, it's useless.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
All right, there's no patience. See, the Bible says that we're the children of Abraham by faith, by our faith. In other words, because we're the children of Abraham because we have the same kind of faith that Abraham
had.
Amen. When the Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promise, and he waited, how many years was it? 25 years for the promise. And we just want God to take it right now. And we just want God to give it to us right now. He promised it, but Abraham had to wait 25 years ago. And that's the same kind of faith that we have as the children of Abraham, where we've got to hang in there. We've got to wait, right? And we've got to, just like Abraham, we've got to say, we've got to speak of the things that are not as though they are.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Amen.
And it's not like you pretend that you don't have any problems. Brother Branham corrected that one place, and he said, you're not sick. It's not that you don't have a problem. Of course you're sick. Of course you've got cancer. Of course you've got this. Of course you've got problems. It's real. It's a problem.
Sure.
Right? We don't pretend it doesn't exist, but what we're making a confession.
Yes, sir.
We're making a confession of God to come on the scene, right?
Amen.
All right, and when you make that confession of faith, God will back it up.
Yes, sir.
All right, but you mix that with unbelief. You mix that promise of God with unbelief, it'll never fulfill itself. Because it'll be mixed, but that's what's happened. You see it in the church, where people have gotten so tired of waiting for the promise.
That's right, brother.
This is the day when God said there were people that would say, where is the promise of his coming?
Absolutely.
I thought Jesus was supposed to come. Right. I thought he was supposed to make the bride into this great something. See, they had this program, this image in their mind.
That's right.
And when it didn't come to pass, they got discouraged.
Sure.
Right? So they started looking, well, you know, maybe we need, maybe what we've got here isn't good enough. Maybe we need some new ministry. Maybe we need some new ideas.
Yeah,
maybe we need to go find some things. Maybe we need to add to it or take away from it.
Sure.
Maybe, you know, maybe we need to bring in this psychologist or bring in this theologian, right? And maybe instead of having our children, you know, reading messages and reading their Bible, maybe they should be reading this little, you know, hey, this is, you know, go down to the bookstore and let's get our arms full of all these, of all these foolish virgin Bible study books and devotions, you know, and let them spend a little time with Joshua Harris. Let them spend a little time with Francis Chan. And see, I'm not saying those things are wrong, but see, we have been given a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
And the Bible says we don't have to add to, we don't have to take away from, just stand on it and wait on God and he'll bring it to pass. But you see this picture and you see, and it's just ruining young people all over the message and people in the churches because people have treated the message of the hour and the things that we call mysteries when they're not a mystery anymore and they're not complicated and they're not hard to understand. God will make it real simple. Amen. God will give a man a real gift of a teacher where he won't leave you more confused than when he showed up. God will reveal to his people, and there's no age limit on it. Amen. There's nothing that will disqualify any Christian from it. He brought it down to the lowest denominator.
That's right.
But what have we done is we've made it into something that's just, it's too complicated. It's too high for the people. Amen. So only the pastor is allowed to ascend into this stuff. And only the, you know, and see, it's not the pastor putting that on the people. It's the people putting it on the pastor.
Sure.
Amen. Where they don't want the battle. They don't want, see, they don't want the struggle. And they don't want the laying in the word and the nights of prayer. And they don't want all that work.
Yeah.
Amen. So they want a pastor to lead it for them.
Sure.
It's a reverse Nicolaitanism.
It's
exactly what it is. Because it's lazy Christians.
Yep.
Sheltered Christians. Baby Christians.
Amen.
They just want somebody to come up and preach about the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe in the love of God, but it's not some fluffy little, you know, just nice thought kind of a love. It's powerful.
Amen.
Amen. It's the very nature of God that he's trying to bring into his people, but his people they don't want somebody come and tell them they've got to change. They don't want a word that's going to come and correct, and a word that's going to say that you're wrong. You know, that we want somebody to pamper us. We want somebody to say, oh, everything's all right.
That's right.
And what will that kind of preaching produce? It'll produce a church that they all get along. Everything seems great. You know, they're all lovely people. Lovely people. But see, deceived.
Sure.
Amen.
Because God can't, he has got no avenue in. Because they got their own program.
That's it, brother.
And they don't want the battle. They don't want the struggle. They don't want they don't want to be mean.
Yeah.
They don't want a word that it's a little rough sometimes. They don't want a word that, oh my, but it's true.
Amen,
brother. It's true, and it just brings me to see because, my burden is always with the young people. To see young people living like I lived once, where it was all just going to church and just kind of living the lifestyle and everything, and there's no life in it, no reality in it. And the only way that you'll ever encounter that living God, that Christ is in the word that he sends to your day. It's in the revealed word of the hour.
Amen.
God will send you a man.
Yes.
God will send you a faithful servant, somebody that will take this word, and he won't hold back, and he won't cut it up into something that's easy to swallow. Amen.
Amen.
But it'll be a meat.
Yes.
Right? Amen. Like the Bible says, we should be so far beyond this baby Christians, babes in Christ. We should be able to handle strong meat.
Yes,
sir. Something that's a little hard to digest sometimes. Something that'll make you go home and pray, and it'll make you cry out to God and say,
Absolutely.
God, I was wrong there. I need to repent. God, I want to come into the perfect image of your word.
Amen.
Amen. Then we can have an overcoming power.
Right.
Then we can be overcomers if we'll choose our weapon wisely. And we won't try to overcome Satan with some man's creed or some man's theology. And we won't try to mix in something to make it a little more modern or a little more pretty or a little more eloquent or just a little easier to swallow.
Sure.
Oh, we don't have to sugarcoat it. Oh, my, but you see it happening everywhere. And we become so intellectual that our faith has been replaced by reason. Like we preach the foolishness of God. We can't overcome Satan by... You can't meet Satan with reason. Satan sired the thing.
That's right.
He's the father of reason.
Amen.
It was reason was how he was able to overthrow Eve.
Right? Amen. That's right.
Right. And anybody that tries to come against him in this day, trying him to be that second Eve, right, she'll fall just the same if she tries to come with reason.
Amen, brother.
Right. But if we could have just a faith in his word, just simply
the Lord. Amen.
Amen. The word of God, it'll overcome the enemy anytime, any place, anywhere. Amen.
That's right, brother.
All right.
Yes,
so let me back up here a little bit. We're talking about mixing our knowledge or our unbelief in with faith, right? Wisdom and faith. See, whenever God puts it in our heart to believe, right away Satan's there to make you reasonably.
That's right.
He does it to me. I'm sure he does it to you. All right? You'll say, surely. He'll give you a promise. He'll lay it in front of you.
Amen.
But there's something there that says, surely that doesn't apply to me. I mean, surely there's got to be some strings attached. Nothing's that, he said that by his stripes we're healed, and he said it real, that was what he said, but I mean, surely not, surely like, maybe we can't be healed because he's trying to teach us something through the sickness, all right, so figure it out, and then get healed,
It
would take any reason it takes a lot of courage to stand in faith.
It does. Amen.
It's hard, it's a battle in the mind.
Amen.
Right? It really is, because you've got to stand there, and you've got to surrender what your eyes are telling you.
That's right.
What your
Amen.
Flesh is telling you, what your ears are telling you. You've got to surrender. You've got to lay it all down and say, "I'll take the word of God instead." That's what faith does. It looks to the unseen, right? It speaks to the things that are not as though they are. It's the substance. It's the reality. The tangible reality of something that you're still hoping for.
Amen.
And it's the evidence of something that you're not seeing. Right? That's
Amen.
Faith.
That's right, brother.
All right. We need that kind of faith.
Yes.
All right, but we're always saying, like, what if it's not God's will to heal me? What if it's not God's will to deliver? You know, what if God's not willing to save my loved ones? What if God's not willing to...
Brother.
Listen, let Brother Brown correct that now. He says it's because of the channel. You can look out and see it, but you've got to have it in here looking... You know, he says, talking about faith, you've got to have it in here looking this way. Not out there looking in,
right?
Right, looking at the outside things. You got to have faith in here looking out. Right?
Yes,
he says you can't come through reason.
Amen.
Because it's unreasonable for somebody who's sick to be healed.
That's right.
It's totally unreasonable.
Yeah.
It's unreasonable for somebody who's been a sinner for years and then for God to be able to do a work in their life when they are so stubborn and so obstinate. It's unreasonable. Amen. But faith is greater than reason.
Faith.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is greater, amen, than anything.
That's
Amen.
Right.
So you can't come through these things. You've got to come right down through God's channel of it right into the soul. And how do you do it? What's the last channel? He says, next thing you reason. Well, it looks like he ought to know what he's talking about. The doctor says I can't get well. That ought to be. I mean, he's the doctor. He ought to know.
Sure.
He says, see, right there, you're wrong.
That's right.
Foolishness of God. That's the devil standing there. That's the devil poking those things into
sure
you.
Is.
Don't you believe it. Hallelujah. God's word said, above all things, I would that you prosper in health.
Amen.
That's
right.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
that's right. How can you be a real soldier out there otherwise?
Amen.
See, you're supposed to be a soldier. I want you to prosper in health. What if God doesn't want to save me? God is not willing that any should perish.
That's right. That's the word.
That's the word
Amen.
Of God. Amen. God is willing that we should have trials and battles. It is His will that we have trials. It's His will that we have battles. It's His will that we get sick sometimes. It's His will that sometimes we get discouraged or something comes to try to oppress us. But He brings us through it all. Amen. He'll bring you through all of it. Why? Because then He can prove that His strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
He can glorify Himself through your struggles. And if it all came easy, if it all came lazy, then we wouldn't be overcomers. But we've been called to be overcomers. Amen. We've been called to overcome and sit with Him in His throne. But we become so intellectual that our faith has been replaced by reason. Instead of restoring this power of the living Word, we're turning to carnal weapons. Trying to come against the enemy with so many carnal things, programs. Trying to bring young people to Christ through sports games and rock concerts and all these things. And trying to bring in a little worldly music. Try to bring in this or that to try to attract them. To try to bring men, to try to hold them. It'll never hold them.
Never hold them
in this day.
Amen.
Never hold them in this day. Amen. But the living Word of God, the living Word, the whole Word, the full truth, and nothing but the truth, it'll produce an overcoming people.
Amen.
Amen. It's a prophetic word. It never returns void, but it always brings to pass what God purposed it to bring to pass. God spoke of a bride who's an invincible army.
Amen. That's
She's
right.
an invincible army, and He'll bring it to pass. He'll produce it because He said He would. It has nothing to do with us.
Amen.
How many believe that the bride will be an invincible army?
Yes.
All right, now let me say this to you as a challenge.
Come on.
A challenge to me and a challenge to you. What if we really believe that?
Amen.
I mean, what if we really, really believe that?
That's right.
What if we really believed it?
Hit it now.
I just want to leave that with you. So I've been on fire with that for a couple weeks now, so now you can burn with it too. Got off my chest. What if we really believed it? What could God do?
Hallelujah.
If we would just only believe it. If we wouldn't reason so much, we'll never overcome him with the enemy with reason. He sired it. And you're not going to beat him on his own ground. The Bible said that the children of Israel, if they wanted victory, they had to stay inside the boundaries of the land that God promised them. You don't need to go out there and try to do battle with Satan. You don't need to get on Facebook and argue. You don't need to defend anything to anybody.
That's right.
Amen. You just need to stand there and only believe. Just stand on your land. When Satan comes onto your land, that's when you can go against him.
Amen.
Right? When he's squatting on your territory, that's when you have a right to possess it back.
Amen.
Amen. That's the we can't overcome him through human ability, but we look at our own ability so much to overcome him. And we want to be such super Christians and so powerful in the flesh and so intelligent in the mind. Right? And we have this image of what we think that we should be when it doesn't hold true biblically anywhere. And we're looking for some kind of move of God to come and make us all perfect when God has never used perfect people. Oh my, and he's never even used strong people. He's never even used gifted people. Look at David. Amen. It was totally foolish for David to be the one out there representing the armies of the living God against Goliath. Amen. But you look at the state of the church in David's day, how they're all cowering. And they all knew who they were. They all knew the promises of God. They'd all been taught just like David. They'd heard the same message year after year, talking about how they had a right to the land that they were on, but they didn't want to go out and actually fight for it. Nobody wanted to actually stand against the enemy. There was no courage. They were in fear. They were in bondage. And Satan had them so backed into the corner. Amen. That's why God needs to raise up a David in our day. Somebody small and ready. Somebody who's not, he's not as smart as some of these men. He's not as intellectual as some of these great teachers. Or he can't pray as pretty as the deacons. Or he'll take somebody small. He'll take somebody young and insignificant. And somebody that doesn't look like they're capable at all. Because they're not. But that's who God likes to take. And just put a burning desire on their heart to see God's word brought to pass.
Amen.
And he'll raise up a David that'll say, how could you sit there? How could you sit there and let this uncircumcised Philistine squat on the land of the living God, the land that God promised us?
Amen.
We need that spirit in this day when Satan is coming in like a roaring lion. Yeah. And it just seems like he's doing whatever he wants to do in the church. And he's stealing our young people, right? And he's taking away our power and taking away our healing. And he's so squatting on the land till he's got the church towering in a corner. Where's a David that'll say, this uncircumcised Philistine, though I'm just a child and he's a giant, he's nothing. Amen. He's nothing. And look at Satan didn't come. David didn't try to come against Goliath with some kind of human power.
That's right.
Right? He didn't. It was totally foolish. It was a hilarious picture, really, to look at David there. And look at what Saul tried to do.
Yep. Saul was one of the great teachers of the message.
Sure. Absolutely.
And Saul came to David and said, "All right, David, I like your attitude, like your spirit. But let me give you this little seminar. Let me give you this little lead you through this 7-part series on how to overcome Goliath." When Saul had been cowering in his tent.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my. It should have been Saul out there fighting him.
Amen.
All right, but and so he said, "David, all right, let me put on this helmet, right? That of all these sort of mind exercises that you can do to change your attitude and help you overcome the enemy and look at what Satan's trying to do. Satan, all this carnal armor, trying to arm David with all these carnal things, you know. And it just, what is he doing? Just weighing him down until poor David, he's so weighted down by all this armor, he can't even move, right? And what is he? He's just like the rest of the children of Israel. They're just weighted down by this armor. They're tired of sitting out there in the field. They're tired of hearing the challenges of the enemy. They just want to. And they're getting distressed, and they're so weighted down
because they've got
all of these carnal trappings on the church that is holding them back.
Amen.
But David had a revelation. God had already given him the word to overcome, and he didn't need any of it.
That's right.
He didn't need anything that Saul had to give him. He didn't need anything carnal. He didn't need anything intellectual.
Amen.
He didn't need any ability. He didn't need any gifts. He didn't need anything human at all.
That's right.
What he did, he took the little rock of revelation.
Right,
because God had already told him that look, he already helped him kill the lion. He already helped him kill the bear.
Right.
And David, there's no doubt in David's mind that God's going to keep his promise.
Amen.
Because David was anointed.
Amen.
And so if our faith could be anointed, if we could just surrender all these carnal things, take off all these carnal trappings, all this carnal armor that we're trying to use against the enemy. And you know what it is. You know how we try to do it, and we try to... it seems like we'll take anything but the Word of God.
Sure.
And we'll want to feed on anything but the Word of God, and we'll want to do anything but pray. Anything it takes but just read your Bible and pray.
Yep. Come on. Amen.
We'll try anything else first. And it doesn't work.
No.
It doesn't work. We got to be like a David. Yeah, he had one rock he had one revelation that he's going to overcome Goliath, and he had 4 more rocks in there because Goliath had 4 brothers.
Right.
See? God gave him the promise. He's looking already to the future, what God's going to do.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
He wasn't worried about it.
Amen.
All right. I don't even know what time it is. It's at my... 8:15. All right. I started 7:15, so I need to wrap up. All right. Thank you for bearing with me now. All right. Can we read another scripture? We're on the home stretch now. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. See if we could have a David-like faith. See, there was promise that David. How could David stand against Goliath? I wonder how could he stand there in the face of Goliath? I really think it was because God already told him he'd be king.
That's
God
right.
already anointed
Absolutely.
Him. He not only did he give David the promise that he'd be king, but he proved it with the anointing.
Amen.
Right? And so if we've got that token Holy Ghost, that's the proof that every promise
sir.
Of God is ours. It's the earnest,
yes.
right,
yes,
of our inheritance.
Yes. Amen.
It's the down payment.
That's
it's
right.
the proof. It's the token, the title deed. We've got it. The land is ours. These possessions are ours. Amen. So we don't have to worry about the current circumstances.
Amen.
I hope this encourages somebody. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 1. I'm going to read kind of quickly now, just hit the highlights. This is the children of Israel, and they're in battle with the Ammonites under King Jehoshaphat. All right, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, let me kind of skim it here now, that King Jehoshaphat, there's this multitude of Ammonites coming against him to battle, coming against the children of Israel. And verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might? so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land? But see, now the inhabitants are coming back.
Yeah.
Right? Satan's rising a challenge.
Yep.
Right? He's mounting the challenge of this land before the people, thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name. All right? Now, verse 11, he's continuing to pray to the Lord. He says, behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession. Thy possession. Not even our possession, it's his possession.
That's right.
Right? We're just joint heirs with Christ. It's just as much his possession as ours. So it's not, it's up to him to hold it. Amen.
Amen.
Which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. And that's what we've got to learn. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Wow. We don't even know what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. You put a Christian in that state and watch what will happen. All right. Now the Spirit of the Lord comes on a prophet in the camp. And there comes a message from this prophet. Now, verse 15, and he says, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this. See, don't let reason get you afraid or dismayed. Don't know what your eyes are telling you, what your mind's telling you, what Satan's telling you, what your families are telling you, what your friends tell you. Don't let anybody reason with you to make you afraid or dismayed by this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Hallelujah.
Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go, but listen, you don't need to fight, but you need to go out.
That's
you need
right.
to march to war.
That's right.
Right, but you don't have to do the fighting. It's not up to your power to overcome, right? Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Oh my. At verse 20, kind of halfway through, Jehoshaphat speaks to people, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.
Amen.
Just believe, only believe.
That's right.
And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. I just love this, how they went out, right? And the Lord made them a promise that they're going to overcome. So look how they go. They were so inadequate to overcome this enemy, this multitude that was against them. So they just stand there in the beauty of holiness, and they go out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They're already praising the Lord, just worshiping, just going right along, clad for battle, but knowing they don't have to fight today. What a wonderful thing. Just the host of the Lord, all armed, amen, the breastplate of righteousness, all these things, and what a beautiful picture. Marching to war, praising the Lord, standing there in the beauty of holiness, knowing that God's going to fight their battle today. Amen. And we're just as sure as they are. We've got just as much of a rest and a peace as they do. Amen. Because God has already made a promise. He sent a prophetic message that he's going to produce a bride in this day, and it doesn't matter what anybody says again about it, and it doesn't matter how much we look at ourselves and feel like we don't measure up, because the promise is the Lord's and the battle is his, and it's not up to our power to overcome.
Hallelujah.
Amen. His mercy endureth forever. And when they begin to sing and to praise. Look, they really believed it.
That's right.
They really believed it. So they began to sing and they began to praise.
Yeah.
And the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten.
Hey.
For the children of Ammon, look at what happens in verse 23 is all these enemies, they get so confused,
yeah.
And God puts such a confusion against them, they turn on each other and tear themselves to pieces.
Right.
Oh my. You give Satan enough rope, he'll hang himself.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, verse 24. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Oh, brothers and sisters, there are treasures in God's word that we haven't even started to tap into. Amen. And so we need to stop following the example of the rest of the church that they're shaken, right? They're fearful. They don't want to stand against Satan. They don't want to make a stand, right? They would rather reason themselves out of having to fight, reason themselves out of having to stand in faith. But we don't want to be like that. We don't have to live in defeat.
Amen.
We don't have to. We don't have to live below our privileges.
Amen.
See, where are the Shamgars in this day that will just get fed up with Satan having his way with the people,
Amen.
And he'll and just hold to the promise that was
yes,
given?
Lord.
See, Shamgar knew that he could overcome, even though it was 1,000 Philistines, and all he had. See, all he had was just a simple little ox goad, just a stick.
That's
See,
right.
but God has done that every time. He took a Moses. He said, Moses, just use what's in your hand.
Right.
He said, Shamgar, just use what's in your hand. Oh my, Samson, take that jawbone. Just use what's in your hand. Right? And we feel like we don't have anything to fight the enemy with. We feel so inadequate. But he says, just take what's in your hand. Just take what's in your hand.
Yes.
Amen. Just take it and stand there, and I'll bring my promise to pass.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We need a Shamgar that'll say, I am fed up with Satan getting the victory.
Yes.
We don't have to live in defeat.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God's word will beat the enemy anytime, any place, anywhere.
Yes, Lord.
It'll never fail. It has never failed once.
That's right.
Amen. It's people that fail to believe it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's not be a people like that. Oh my, it's the time to fast and pray and just call on God and say, God, I believe it. I believe it. Just give me help my unbelief.
Yes,
I believe.
Lord.
Help
yes.
my unbelief. I just want to so believe it. I just want to be foolish enough to believe what he said.
Amen.
Amen. And I know he'll bring it to pass. Hallelujah. We stand on such sure ground.
Yes, Lord.
In this fortress of God. See, we don't have to go out on the enemy's territory where it's uncertain, where we don't know the lay of the land. We know every scripture. We know every verse and line of our land, and it's all given to us. And then whenever Satan comes across those boundaries to squat on something the Lord promised us, when Satan comes in with sickness, you can be healed. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to allow him to live on your land.
That's right.
If Satan has you bound up with some kind of sin, some kind of anything, we don't have to accept it. We don't have to, because we've got a title deed to it.
Amen.
You keep applying that thing, and you don't even have to wrestle him off.
Amen.
As the program said, the Holy Ghost will enforce his word.
Yeah,
you just stand there in faith and apply the word. See, you get dressed up for battle,
yes, right.
just like the army of Judah. And you just stand there, and God will do your fighting for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We say we have such a rest. We should have such a peace. We don't have to worry about what's coming tomorrow. We don't have to worry
That's
about
right,
the bills
right.
getting paid. We don't have to worry about the kids getting sick. We don't have to worry about loved ones getting saved. We don't have to worry. God has it all in his hands.
Yes,
just only believe.
Amen.
Enter into his rest. Hallelujah.
Yes,
enter into the land. Amen. You know, we should be like Caleb. You know, he started out with the message of the hour years ago, and he was zealous about it. He said, we're able to do it. We're able to do it. And you find him after so many battles, after so many victories, even a couple defeats. When he's 80 years old, he comes to Joshua and he says, I'm more able now than I ever was before.
Amen.
Had nothing to do with Caleb at all. But Caleb had learned to just believe the promise of God.
Amen.
And he had seen enough to have faith in God that no devil could stand in his way. Amen. Where are the Shamgars? Amen. We've got to choose our weapon wisely in this day. Amen. I was thinking about, you know, how God fights our battles for us. And there's a legend of King Arthur, and he had a sword, Excalibur. And I believe that one of the translations of that, or kind of the versions of it, is you know, if you were holding Excalibur, it would do all the swinging for you. You're kind of, it's not like you wielding the sword will wield you.
That's right.
See, if we'll just walk
yes,
in the
Lord.
Holy Ghost, we'll
That's
just be surrendered,
Lord.
We'll just believe, God will direct you.
He'll
direct
right.
your path.
Amen.
Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct that path. Amen. That's all I have for you tonight. I appreciate you. I just love his word.
Yes, Lord.
I just love his word. His word can be such an encouragement when you're down. There's so much power and life in it. When God begins, when God can take just one of these scriptures and there's a Holy Ghost there to open it up to you. And you might have read it 100 times before and it just was nothing to you, but God can take it and he can open it and it'll hit your heart at just the right time, just a word in due season. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So see, but Satan, he tries to turn our eyes everywhere but this word. If you just hold it before you.
That's right.
Just hold it before you. We got to lay in this word. We've got to feed on this word. Oh my, and it'll produce what we're looking for.
Amen.
It'll produce it. It's the power in the word, not our power.
That's right.
Amen. Oh my, I just love his word.
Amen.
Just love his word. Let's pray as Andy. Let's all stand also. Lord Jesus, just a simple message kind of chopped up tonight, Father. Just a real simple thought, Father. But Lord, all of your real deep truths are turn out to be simple, Lord. And we're just thankful, Father, for making it simple enough for us to be able to understand it and receive it, Father. And Lord, now may we receive it tonight, Father. And Lord, we talk about the power in your word. We talk about, Lord, the power that we have to overcome. And we've talked about these things for years, Father. But we're so hungry, Lord, to see it come fulfilled. We're so hungry to see a manifestation in our day, Father. Lord, and we're looking for what your word said would happen, that when the utter darkness was on the world and gross darkness upon the people, that, Lord, we could arise and shine with your light, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we know it's that day, and Lord, we're looking and we're longing, but Lord, we don't want to get ahead of your program, Father. We don't want to, Lord, with our needs that we have, we don't want to try to get ahead of you. We don't want to get discouraged when you don't handle them the way that you want to, Lord. We just want to, Lord, just stand in faith. Stand there with the shield and faith that'll endure the blows of the enemy, Lord, and just keep applying your word. I pray you'd give us a simple faith tonight, Father, a substance faith, Father. Those of us, Lord, we've believed these things for years. We've paid it lip service, Father, and Lord, believed it intellectually, believed it in our minds. May it drop down in our hearts, Father. Every promise of God is ours, Father. Every promise in the book, it's mine, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, may your presence just come in, Father, and speak to your people, Father. Give us faith. Drive out every unbelief, Lord. Oh my, when we don't understand, Father, we don't need to understand. Lord, we just trust in you. Lord, I pray you'd encourage every heart. In Jesus' name.
I believe it's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun. It's by faith. Close every hand raised, sing it once more. It's by faith, with all your heart, don't hold back from God. That I believe, it's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith.
Keep playing softly. Holy Spirit's here tonight. When God was well pleased with what was said, it's nothing but the truth. It's time for you as an individual to take the Word of God and to be a Christian. Think too often, church, as I can tell you know that he's standing here. You know this isn't me. We've got to get past needing pumped up, needing motivation from a man or
from a certain gift that we just like and a certain preacher that we enjoy or a certain way that he can preach today. I don't know about this one. But we've got to get past all of that and realize the Holy Spirit's here. What man's got to say about us doesn't mean anything. It's what he's got to say about it. When you hear the word, church, you let Satan tell you, don't say amen. When you hear something and it strikes your heart, something you say, say hallelujah, praise me. And you reason your way out of it. Look, he saw it. Hope you understand tonight. He knows your heart. And I believe a real Christian wants to praise the Lord. Don't listen to the devil tonight. Don't let any moment pass, because it could be a moment between life and death. And as every eye is closed, every head's bowed, I feel very pressed to lead us in a minute. There's one soul here. No looking around, no worrying about anybody else. We'll just go right down the line. In your heart, you'll be honest and say, Lord, I'm not born again. I need to change. When sin comes, I have to do it. When it's an opportunity, I don't have any power to fight against it. Would you raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I need power from on high. I'm so tired of trying to overcome every day. I try and I try and I try and I can't do it. Oh, God, have mercy. Fill my heart with power that when the enemy would come, I could overcome. God bless each one. Let's raise your hands. Now, look, you don't raise your hand in doubt. You raise your hand and say, God, thank you. Thank you for power from on high. Thank you that I'll never be the same. I don't even care if you're a Christian tonight. You have been born again in the Spirit of God, and you just feel like you let the devil take back some land. Look, you've still got the commission. David, you're still king. It doesn't matter that you committed adultery and committed murder. You're still the king. And Christian, you're still a child of God. It doesn't matter. The blood's already atoned for you. It's time to get in victory, church. I know it's hard to accept the grace of God when you look at him in the face and know that you hurt him. And you know you've done wrong. I understand that's hard. I'm right here. Look, I'm a pastor. I understand that. But I'm just the same as anyone else. I've got to overcome. I've got to fight the old guy in the mirror every day. And if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't know what to do ever. Because there's no power in a man to overcome Satan. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Now, I challenge you tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, to believe that he is standing right here in your midst. That the same man that walked the shores of Galilee, that died on Calvary, he rose again on the third day. And he said, I am alive forevermore. And he promised us if two or three would gather together in his name, he would be here. What do you have need of, Christian friend? Are you disappointed? Why are you disappointed when Christ has given you all things? Did you let the enemy back into Canaan? Even if you did, I'm here to encourage you tonight. Take the word. Take faith. Don't wait on no preacher. You take the word. You take faith and say, Satan, get off my land in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, can I do that for any promise? Any promise. You battle lust, brother, in the name of Jesus Christ, you could take that land back. Satan can't squat on you. Sister, if it's jealousy, if it's hatred, it's malice, anything that you know is wrong. In the name of Jesus Christ, any Christian that's here, you've got power enough to defeat the devil anywhere. If it's sickness, if it's pain, if it's torment, you've already overcome him. Stand there now and say what the word's got to say about it. I'm healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you're a liar. Get off my land. Don't do it out of a ritual. Do it. You believe it. I'll tell you right now, he'll back away. He'll bluff you again. He'll bluff you again. He'll bluff you again. You don't never back up. You're the one packing the goods. He doesn't have anything. I challenge you to believe it tonight. Is there anyone here that would say, I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you want to come forward for prayer, that's fine. I believe in that. Me and Brother Nathan will pray with you. But I just... You know what? Now that he checked me on that, don't do that tonight. That's not what he wants. Because he'll trust your, you're going to trust. Too many people trust in faith in ministers. We can't pray nothing special for you. You've got to believe this. You've got to believe it right now. You've got to call it out right now as a believer and take your land. Don't expect something from a man at any time. I don't care who he is. He's got nothing to offer you. You want a man to pray with you? We should be able to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive what you have. And that's it. It's not because we pray for 20 minutes you get anything. It's that you believe and we believe in our faith together. He said, if two of you agree with it on anything, I'd give it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, my. I just love his presence. We're going to pray for our sister Sharon here. You keep worshiping. Look, don't worry. Don't wait for someone else. Look, you let the moment pass. Don't let the moment pass. Do you have victory yet? Don't let the moment pass. Brother, sister, accept it. Act upon it. Praise him for it. Say, I don't feel it. Praise him for it. Say, still saying in my head, praise him for it. It's over. He's waiting on you. That's it. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost. Don't you reason with that. That's the Spirit of God. Strongholds come down when you say the word. You might have thought I was just waiting, just trying to pump you up. That wasn't me doing this. Holy Spirit standing so close. I wish you could see it. Jordan, you Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have no power. Take your hands off every soul that's here tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, just praise him. Just praise him for it. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. It's the greatest thing that ever came on you. Your flesh don't understand it. It never will. Just praise him anyhow in the Spirit of God. All you know how to do is say, thank you, Jesus. Then you say it. And you mean it from your heart. God will meet his other half. Hallelujah. It's so simple. You'd walk right over the top of it. He's here right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God.
Yes, Lord God. Kill him with
No reasoning now, none. No reason. Faith, believe. 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 Oh, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just praise Him any way you feel led. We'll go ahead. You can sing too. That's fine. Let's. Oh, it's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith Thou overcome. It's by faith Thou see the sun. By faith that I believe, it's by faith that I receive, it's by faith I'll overcome, it's by faith Thou see the sun. It's by faith that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith I'll overcome. It's by faith I'll see the sun.
Hallelujah.
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 I have a lot of faith that
babes, thou hast perfected praise. Thank you, Lord. Look at that servant. Thank you, blessed God. Thank you, blessed God. I don't have enough voice to praise the Lord. Open your eyes for a second and look forward. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody want to raise your hand and say, I was delivered tonight of an infirmity from the devil. Raise your hand. You see faith begin to rise. You say, I just raised my hand. That's how you do it. Because you believe from the heart, out of your mouth cometh the confession, and you have enough power to tell you that hand up and say, Satan, look what side I'm on. I'm not afraid of you anymore. Hallelujah. You feel that rising up. That's where we're going to live for all eternity, is right there. Hallelujah. We're living there right now. If you're a real Christian, you're up there in glory. Look, leave Ohio. Leave Defiance. We ain't here right now. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That atmosphere is so, oh, mine, that's it. That's it. Don't reason now. Don't reason. What would you do in the presence of God? Do it, because you are in the presence of God. What would you do in heaven? You're there now. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, my, can we just worship Him unreserved for a few minutes and realize it don't matter about lunch, it don't matter about going home right now. What matters is praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, blessed God. You're worthy, Lord, of praise. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. You're worthy, Lord God. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Blessed be
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah means praise our God. I could say it with a thousand tongues. Praise His holy name. Thank you, blessed God. Now I warn you, Christians, your soldiers, now you heard the word tonight. You pray for that soldier sitting there too. No one easy on him tonight. But I know that he's more than a conqueror because he's in Christ.
Amen.
You lift him up. You lift one another up. Expect the enemy.
Amen.
But expect him to lose.
Amen.
He'll come in like a flood, but he'll just sail right above.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't believe in this. I believe the Lord's had His way tonight. And that's why we came together. Was that God could take us from where we were and bring us where we ought to be.
Amen.
How many content in your soul? Say, thank you, Lord, for your work tonight. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a big from the heart hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Got to go tonight, that's fine. You can be dismissed now. In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless you. If you want to stay, what are you praising, Dad? We'll sing that, that's for sure. Stay encouraged, church. If you got to go, that's fine. I just love the Lord. How many loves Him tonight?
Yes.
Amen. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all love. Let's go ahead and sing that. Give God praise. God bless you tonight. It's not by mine. It's not by time.